So, Catherine, are you saying that in order to finance these black op budgets, that they have to do it fraudulently because there's, one, not enough money to do it, or it wouldn't be approved? Why do they want to do it this way?
Well, I think it's much worse than that. I think they're financing black budgets, but I also think they're financing centralized control of resources. Let me tell you another story.
And finish your mortgage story too, okay?
Okay. In the summer of 1997, I was giving a presentation to a group of top pension fund investors on the Solari model, which is sort of my vision of how we get out of this situation,
mm-hmm.
and finance communities with equity and kind of turn things around. And one of the guy was the president of CalPERS, which is the largest pension fund in the country. It's the California state employees. And he looked at me and he said, "You don't understand. It's too late. They have given up on the country. They are moving all the money out of the country starting in the fall."
Who's they?
They are moving it to Asia. He said, "You've got to get to Nick Brady, who's my old partner on Wall Street, but who had been Secretary of the Treasury."
Okay.
And that fall, George, was when the $4 trillion started to go missing from the federal government and the pump and dump of the stock market, the dot-coms, the telecoms started. And my estimation is, if you count the $4 trillion and then what got pulled out of pension funds through the pump and dump of the stock market and retail investors, my estimation is approximately $10 trillion got moved and, according to Bill, was going to be reinvested abroad. Now, my biggest fear for the American people is that that money is now coming back in, and as the economy slows down, and in some places very dramatically, that money is coming back in and essentially buying up all of our land, water, municipal assets, and resources out from under us, because as the dollar falls, that money's worth, you know, if it was worth $10 trillion when it left, it's worth a lot more.
Who sent it out?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I can tell you who was complicit in allowing the $4 trillion of undocumentable adjustments and not doing anything about it. I mean, you have the two secretaries of the Treasury. You have Bob Rubin, Larry Summers. O'Neill left in a huff. O'Neill tried to put up much more financial disclosure and you know, got booted, and the financial disclosure got pulled down in a pattern that's very similar to what happened to me.
Well, now explain this for us, Catherine. So the money goes, it goes out fraudulently, of course. And
well,
then,
that's what we're guessing.
And then comes back to buy resources and land and
right,
things like
that. Let me give you an
example. Well, who's buying it?
Well, you know, it's as the money moved out, there are certain players who have done very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are centralizing the economy. You know, let's take, for example, Carlyle Group. Carlyle Group started in the 80s. They were kind of a nobody and nothing, and all of a sudden, as the missing money goes missing, they explode with lots of investment, and now are, I think, the 11th largest defense contractor in the country.
And they bought a lot of these companies undervalued, and then
Well, they bought companies, and then they got contracts.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, if I have a stock, and then, you know, if you look at the story of Enron, you know, Harvard puts out studies saying we ought to deregulate energy. Those studies get taken to the government. The government suddenly, you know, outsources all their energy purchases to Enron. Enron stock flies up. You know, that's called pump and dump stock market fraud using government contracts.
In some cases, you don't even have to bid, do you?
Right. I mean, all these things can be arranged in the overt world if you know how to do it and you can work cross-government in the private sector.
All right. Making the assumption this is going on, I mean,
right,
how much more money do these organizations, do these people, whoever they may be, I call them the Illuminati. I think we're talking about the same thing. What are they going to do with it all?
Well,
I mean, if you got
you know, my fear is that they're going to, I mean, what we saw between 1998 and September 2001 was a financial coup d'etat. And in September 10th of 2001, Rumsfeld was pressed about the $2.3 missing money at a press conference. I was working with reporters in Washington coming out with big stories during the appropriation process, and I said to the reporter, you know, literally the day before 9/11, nothing can stop this from going mainstream now. And then 9/11 happened, And my question with 9/11 is, one, did it slam the door on the $4 trillion of missing money being ever found, number one? But number two, was it a mechanism to move the black budget on budget? Because as a result of 9/11 and the Patriot Act and that whole process, DOD has been relieved from a lot of their financial reporting requirements. And suddenly, if you look at any of my estimations of the size of the black budget before September 11th, 2001, and you look at how much the defense budget has increased, you know, it's remarkable. You know, one wonders if they just got tired of running around and doing all this financial fraud and narcotics trafficking and decided, you know, we just need more control and we need to get the black budget on budget.
So let's go for the gusto.
Yeah. I mean, it's very hard if you really study what happened on 9/11, and more importantly, Judge George, you really if you really study, I have an article called 9/11 Profiteering where I estimate the different areas of ways that people made money on 9/11. I mean, my guess is it was the most profitable covert operations in the history of piracy. And, you know, it's impossible to explain the sort of facts without assuming that, that some faction inside was complicit.
I was going to say, you're now treading on some very thin ice, Catherine, so I want you to be very specific on some of the things we say here. I have a theory, and I've always said it, follow the money.
Right.
Who benefits,
right,
and you'll find a lot of things.
Right.
Now, since you have brought it up, I'm going to ask you, do you have any doubts at all that these crazed Islamic fundamentalists were part of this?
You know, I think if crazed Islamic fundamentalists were part of it, it was as an unimportant part, certainly not a controlling part.
What if they were the tool?
You know, they could have been a tool, but serious money does not bank an operation like that, you know, with Looney Tunes people in critical roles. I mean, if I'm an investor and I'm banking a covert operation, I'm just not going to bank something that's dependent on somebody who's volatile or amateurish or not,
a
serious player.
Would this be a worldwide conspiracy?
Well, I think, you know, in my experience, George, things are pretty fractured. I'm not saying that the financial system isn't highly centralized, but it's a very big planet, and it's very hard to run things. And my history, my read of the history of sort of dirty money in the United States, is if you're one faction and you're competing with other factions, and the crowd continually votes for the guy who has the most money, then if they do dirty and you don't do dirty, then they win and kill you.